Warning, this podcast is intended for mature audiences only. The podcast will contain adult language and subject matter. It is not suitable for all listeners and ages. Your personal discretion is advised.
Feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme, get on up, because it is news chew time. Welcome back, everybody. Joining me as always is the sass to my frass, the mic to my Ike, Benjamin Orr. Ben, what's going on, pal?
Not much, Lou. I'm glad that you think I'm the mic to your Ike.
It's quite a compliment. Those things are delicious.
Yeah, it is. They are. So, I don't think we have to get into the specifics of who's Mike and who's Ike, because I don't think that matters.
It's irrelevant.
It's like peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, how are you doing this week?
I'm good. Ben, I had something come up, and I know we've talked about it. I don't know if we ever talked about it on the show before, but you take a very firm stance on the topic of someone who puts just ketchup on a hot dog. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. Now, we don't have to go into details, but you feel very strongly that that is unacceptable.
Yes, I'm at a loss for words of how unacceptable that is in society, that people actually do that.
Now, a situation arose this week for me, personally. And by a strange series of events, it came to pass that I was forced with the decision of ketchup or mayonnaise as my only two available condiments. Don't ask how it happened, because that's not what's important. I was at a crossroads. It was meat in tube form, is all you need to know. So do I put mayonnaise on it? Do I put ketchup on it? Or do I just bareback it? And now I know what kind of man I am, Ben. You know what kind of man I am? Would you dare to take a wager?
I'm afraid I'd be disappointed.
No, I don't think you will be, because I took it bareback, Ben. That's the kind of man that I am. I did it bareback.
You are a man's man, and I appreciate that.
I could have taken the easy way out and just put a little ketchup on there just to give it some, you know, some added, lubrication is the appropriate term, although it makes it sound a little sexier than it was. That was the choice that I made. I didn't feel right about it. I felt inappropriate. Like you said, it just felt unacceptable to me, so I went without.
I have to ask, though,
mm-hmm.
Who in the world ever thought that it'd be a good idea to put mayonnaise on a hot dog?
Now, the place that I was at, there were other options where mayonnaise was a perfectly serviceable and acceptable condiment choice. That is, however, not the route that I chose to go.
I guess, yet again, I also do not like mayonnaise at all.
Because there was also chicken breasts and things like that. Mayonnaise is accessible. But, again, like I said, through a very bizarre series of coincidences, all that was left was ketchup and mayonnaise. And I defiantly said, no thank you to either of you ladies. I go bareback.
You are doing
the Lord's work. Yes, I know.
Basically, you're doing God's work.
Ben, I'm doing the people's work.
You are. So, audience at home, in the car, at the office, wherever you're listening to us from, he's doing work for you. So you don't have to go out and do these things. Lou is doing this for you.
I'm trying to live vicariously for all of you, so that you don't have to do anything through me, because that's, you know, there's still some hepatitis floating around in there. So it's probably best that it go, you know, this way. So I'll take care of things for you. I'll continue to make the tough choices, and then I'll let you know how it goes.
Well,
I don't really have hepatitis.
I would hope not.
No, I don't know why.
That'd be terrible. But thank you for doing work that nobody else can imagine. I mean, it's hard because if I get a hot dog and I don't put anything on it, people are like, oh, you eat that plain. And I'm like, well, yeah, the only acceptable condiment for it is either honey, maybe sometimes honey mustard, depending on what it is, or chili. Chili and cheese is really good on the hot dog. On a brat, you have onions,
I believe that ketchup and mustard on a hot dog is perfectly acceptable. Just those two things together is 100% acceptable. But just ketchup, there's something, unless you're a child, I think that's the only time that it is okay to go just ketchup.
Yes, I'll give children a pass on that. But if you're a grown ass man out there eating hot dogs with ketchup on them, you need more priorities in your life than that. That's not a priority in your life, and you need to change it, because I'm sorry, it's just not going to get you anywhere in life, and I don't care what the doctors tell you, it's not good for your health.
So you're telling me that eating a hot dog with ketchup on it will not get you anywhere in life?
It won't. It doesn't get you anywhere in life.
Well, then why do it?
Exactly. Why do it? Why take that risk just because you enjoy ketchup? Throw a little relish on there. I don't know. Something. Just, I don't know. Maybe deep fry it. Then you get a corn dog.
Well, now you're getting crazy on me. I got to reel you back in. Now you've crossed the line.
I've gone off the deep end. I am in 12 feet of water.
Once you add the corn dog to the equation, now just ketchup has once again, I think, become an acceptable condiment to have on there just by itself. By deep frying it, you completely change the context of the meat in tube form, Ben. Here, I'll lay it out for you like this, and then I want to know how you would see it. If I see a grown man eating a hot dog in a bun with just ketchup, part of me will scoff at him and say, huh, what a child. But if I see someone eating a corn dog, the same grown man eating a corn dog with just ketchup on it, that same thought does not go through my brain.
I don't know. I'm still torn. The jury's not on that one yet.
All right, all I'm asking is that you think about it. Try to look at the flip side of the coin, because I think that by deep frying the dog, you've completely changed the conversation, Ben. I think it's a very different subject now.
It's a very different time we live in when we have corn dogs in the equation, so I will have to reconsider my stance on that. Maybe not change it, but at least look at it in an equal light.
Anytime you want to kick a party up an extra notch, all you have to do is add corn dogs, because you never know what's going to happen. It's an inexact art.
You know what's really good, though?
What's that?
The corn dogs that have, like, the sausage inside that are wrapped in a pancake.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, they're like the Jimmy Dean stuff, I think.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I do know what you're talking about.
Those are pretty good.
You know who is probably looking forward to eating those?
Who's that?
Your least favorite story of 2014, Ben.
Oh, we're going
to...
We're
going to do it first. We're going to rip it off like a Band-Aid so you don't have to think about it. We'll go fast. Doctors in India have extracted 232 teeth from the mouth of a 17-year-old boy in a 7-hour operation. Ben, 232 teeth seems like a lot. Can you confirm that for me?
Yeah, considering there's only about 32 teeth in the mouth, I think including wisdom teeth, that's quite a bit. It's like you're digging for gold and you find an entire mine.
Ben, quick teeth trivia. What has more teeth, a shark or a snail?
I'm going to say a shark.
Snail. 25,600 teeth.
I had no idea. Well.
All right. That's all I have to say about that.
Is that actually true?
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, wow.
True story. Anyways. But to be fair, to the people who are listening who can't see the pictures, they're not all... like full-grown incisors or like canine, like they're not full-grown teeth. They're described as small white pearls. So they're described as like calcium deposits, like they're little buildups that unfortunately went all the way up into his head.
Yeah, and like you can see in the second picture.
You all right? If you want, I'll talk about it.
As you can see in the second picture. You have, like, they look like rocks, honestly. Like, there's so many teeth that are formed together, it's just like a giant rock.
I won't, because I don't want Ben to pass out, I won't read you some of the quotes in here, but let's just say that this was such a huge, like, problem, him having all these teeth, that the words chisel and the word hammer have both been used in quotes to describe how they got the teeth out. So that's a thing that happened. I thought we would just kick that off just to get that out of the way for Ben so he can enjoy the rest of the show and not be wondering when it's going to fall.
Well, I appreciate that, Lou. That was very courteous of you.
You're welcome.
I'd like to thank Don Pitch for also sending us the story. Lou found it as well on his own, but then Don sent it to us the next day. So, good find, gentlemen.
I'm faster than you, Don. That's also true in the bedroom. Wait. Damn it! I just burned myself trying to burn Don... I wish we could edit. No.
Hey, Lou, I need to go to the store later. Do you want me to pick you up some ice?
Yeah, that was... Oh, yeah, that did burn. I can't believe that. Talk about your all-time backfire. I deserve that. Let's move on from a guy who just had every tooth imaginable removed to some people who don't feel like eating their food, feel like doing something else with it, Ben. It's story number two. Intrigued Londoners looked on today as a smartphone's battery was charged by a strange contraption made of 800 apples and potatoes, connected with hundreds of nails and lengths of copper wire. Now, Ben, you've seen the pictures. Would you describe it as a strange contraption? It just looks like a bunch of potatoes and apples stuck to a wall. In fact, that's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah, plus you have, like, the currents running through them, so I'm assuming it's going, like, one line to another line to another line. I mean, potato power, I guess.
And then the apple gets in there. I mean, it's awesome. It's a really cool story that, you know, it's good to know for when the zombie apocalypse kicks in, that I can charge my cell phone. But
you only need 800 potatoes.
Right, and apples. And here's the other thing, too. Wasn't it just cheaper to buy a battery charger?
Yeah, but where's the fun and creativity in that, though?
Four,
oh, just hugging onto the wall.
400 apples and 400 potatoes? That shit is expensive.
Unless he has a potato farm and an apple farm.
I don't think they do.
It's London or England. I'm sure they have all that shit all over the place.
I mean, look, it's awesome. It's really cool that they were able to do this. And, like, the amount of planning, because I imagine they can't be rotten. So, I mean, like, you have to have it all. Excuse me. Gosh, I'm always yawning. Ben, stop boring me on the show. Sorry, that's not...
Well, maybe you wouldn't be so tired if you weren't beating Dawn in the bedroom.
Damn it. I don't know if you meant that. That hurt me. So anyways, atoms from the zinc electrode dissolve into the apple or potato as a positively charged ion. So there's the science.
And then, they used, I believe, a Nokia phone for it, as it was a project from Microsoft. And the phone, actually, I mean, it is a Nokia, but in the picture, it almost looks like an iPhone, which would be funny because Apple powered by Apple.
Wow, Ben, you've reached a new low.
I have. It was actually a Nokia Lumina 930, used by a wireless mat, which is pretty impressive that those apples and potatoes through the copper wire and the nails were able to generate that much power to generate a... wireless mat to actually charge something. I mean, I could see it coming out of maybe a wall, like a direct source, but for a wireless thing, that's pretty impressive.
Ben, how long before when, like, instead of going to the Apple store, you just go to the farmer's market?
Give or take. 5 years.
In 5 years, we'll have such a surplus of apples and potatoes that you'll have to go pick up 800 of them in order to charge your phone.
Basically.
Awesome.
And you can buy them in bushels and then all that fun jazz.
All of that fun jazz. You know, I think that bushels of apples are a lot of things, but I don't know that I'd describe them as fun jazz. I feel like that's a weird description for them.
Quick question for you.
Sure.
If Apple made a car, would it have windows?
Who told you that joke? If you tell me some bullcrap that you made it up, I'll punch you.
No, I saw it on this restaurant sign on the internet.
That.
So I had to get that across, but because Apple's on my mind. But
you do this just to frustrate me, don't you?
I do.
You do these things.
But the guy who came up with the idea to do this, Caleb Charland, said, quote, "I have never worked with anything on this scale before, and it was a challenge. By creating this large organic charger to power a Lumina 930 device, this work speaks to a common courtesy we all have for how the world works, as well as a global concern for the future of Earth's energy sources." So, I mean, in one hand, it's really cool that they were able to do this. In another hand, that's a lot of food that was wasted.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at on it, too. It seems, I mean, it is cool, and I'm in awe of their ability to create, but, I mean, it just seems like an insane, preposterous waste of food.
But let's get this straight, though. The energy actually isn't coming from the potatoes and the apples. As it says in the article, it comes from the metal connecting the apples. And the zinc from the galvanized nails and copper act as electrodes, and the apple and potato acts as electrolyte. So basically, it's coming from all the metal. I mean, but the apples and the potatoes help act as, like, the gateway to get it there. Still, I mean, it could be seen as a tremendous waste of food, but, I mean, this makes me wish I was back in, like, a science class, being able to experiment on this type of stuff.
Is that what they teach in Ohio? They teach you guys how to make chargers out of potatoes and apples?
Well, but apparently they teach that in London, England.
Or at least they were working towards that. Like, when you were there, it was bananas and chocolate eclairs.
Well, that's quite a combination.
Sounds delicious. It'd be a terrible waste.
What about chocolate eclairs with banana filling?
Yes. That doesn't do it for me. Because I hate artificial banana flavor. I like actual banana flavor, but not fake banana flavor.
Well, yeah, I was saying they got actual bananas, just mushed
banana. Yeah, I'd be into that.
But, yeah, that was an interesting story, though, because, I mean, it is kind of fascinating, honestly, how technology is just expanding. I mean, it's kind of scary, in a sense, because, I mean, and I thought it was incredible when I went to the airport before I went to visit Lou. The airport had these things on each row, on each floor, where it told you how many cars were in that certain row and, like, which spots were taken. And I'm like, that's incredible that we have gotten this far technology that it can do that sort of thing. And now we are able to wirelessly charge phones with food and, you know, the help of wires and copper. I mean, the fact that something so, I don't know, 70s, when you just had all these new technologies being built, and, you know, Steve Jobs with Apple, and Bill Gates with Microsoft, all the things they were building, and just something like maybe a kid would even build out of his boredom, that even today, I mean, it's not something we're going to use to charge things or, you know, get, you know, power going for countries or whatnot, but, I mean, we've been able to come this far technology in the most basic formats, in the most standard, like, I don't know, things out there, food and metal. I mean, you just combine those and bam, you can charge phones. But
Ben, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. That was beautiful. Vote or in, let's see, what year will you be running for president? 2020? Yeah.
Sure.
He'll run your house with potatoes and apples. And there might be some banana eclairs in it for you.
There might be.
If you play your cards right, there definitely will be.
We don't want to promise people something that they won't get, like every politician. Anyway.
Oh, come on. Hey, not every... Okay, Just go on.
just go on. So, while we move from intelligence in the world, we go to a least intelligent part of the world in story number 3.
Well, I wonder where that is.
Want to take a guess?
If I were a betting man, which of course I am, I would say it's the same state that brought us the great rapper Flo Rida.
Is he actually from there?
I fuck if I know. he uses their name in his rapper name. I would hope so. Otherwise, that would kill your street cred.
Let me look that up real quick, because that was kind of bummy. Yeah, he's actually from there, so... I mean,
see? Told you.
Alright, so yes, it comes from Florida. A Florida man was charged with picking magic mushrooms while carrying an alligator. Folks, I am sad that I lack the creative talent to make this shit up.
Can you read the headline for me again, just because it makes me giggle?
Yes. A Florida man charged with picking magic mushrooms while carrying an alligator.
it's so good it has to be fake, but it's not fake.
Like, seriously, I am sad I don't have the creativity to make this up. It's just, it's Florida, it's gonna happen. The most asinine shit that happens out there is gonna happen in this state. I mean, we've proven that time and time again on this show.
And this happened, on a side note, this happened in Brevard County, which is where the Milwaukee Brewers single-A baseball team is.
I hope this guy isn't
the Brevard County Manatees.
So, 30-year-old Rick Myers of Titusville, Florida.
Titusville? You inverted the U and the I on me. Titusville. All right, anyways, go on.
So my non-dyslexia is kicking in.
It's all right. That'll happen.
Was charged with possessing an American alligator without a permit, possessing the psychedelic shrooms.
Good work. I don't know what that word is either.
A felony violation of probation and removing natural resources from a wildlife management area. And he wasn't alone. He had two accomplices, a 22-year-old man and a 20-year-old man. There was a fourth man, but he fled the scene. He probably was the only one that wasn't under the effects of shrooms. But, Lou,
what up?
I have never done shrooms, and I imagine some freaky shit happens when you're on shrooms, but, picking up an alligator and taking that shit away, interesting.
I would imagine that the same person who hunts for magical mushrooms in the wild is the same person who would just have an alligator with them. I just feel like that's the appropriate mindset for someone to do one of those things to also be able to do the other thing. So I also don't think they were high on mushrooms during this, because I as far as I understand it, you're not supposed to get high on your own supply. So I imagine they were looking for them so they could sell them and make a few dollars so they could buy real drugs.
Either way,
this guy is a charmer too. His picture, his mom has got to be super proud. Took a really good photo.
He looks like a Titusville man, doesn't he?
And like, what always amazes me about people's ease with alligators and crocodiles is, like, you know, they are giant beasts with more teeth than an Indian guy. And, man.
And the most hilarious part about this story is that the wildlife spokesperson said that in an email, this Rick Myers guy allegedly told authorities that he found the alligator in a field where they picked the mushrooms and picked it up and put it in his pack to take photos of it later.
What they didn't tell you is it already had a collar, and he had already named the alligator. He named it Scrappy Doo.
What I don't get is, alligators are in abundance in Florida. Mainly in swamps and stuff, I imagine, or just really throughout Florida. I mean, the Florida Gators, for Christ's sake. But he straight up admitted that, yeah, I'm picking up mushrooms, but I'm also going to take photos of the alligator. Did he not think that the first part of that is more or less, guilty of a crime than taking an alligator? You're picking illegal drugs, dude.
Well, actually, I think it's the reverse. I think it's almost worse to be carrying a endangered species than it is to be picking some drug mushrooms in the wild. Because, again, if you didn't grow them, then you're just harvesting from nature. But if you're holding an endangered species, I feel like that's a very different type of crime. I don't know. I guess
we're... Ideas are endangered?
Sure. It felt like that was true. But anyway, good for this guy for, you know, trying to pretend to do the right thing, which is taking the alligator that you found in the wild, putting it in your backpack, and then taking pictures of it later with party hats on.
Oh, that fourth guy I was talking about earlier that fled the scene, they did find him.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. Was
he also a skinhead?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't know if the other two guys were either.
I don't imagine.
But Mr. Myers was, certainly. He still is. It's like he grew hair overnight. But they were all booked into the Seminole County Jail. And I guess the guy who was with them must have been underage because he was a juvenile taken to the juvenile detention center.
Oh, damn, those 17-year-old kids, they know where all the best shrooms is, yo.
For real, yeah.
Oh, Ben. Wow. Dangerous territory there, my man.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
You gotta
that
keep
again.
The impression within your whiteness. You can be white and still talk like that, but what you did, Ben, that was Martin Lawrence-y. I don't think that'll fly.
You sure it wasn't Tyler Perry?
Yeah, you know what? Truth be told, I've never seen Tyler Perry in anything. So
I have
no idea. It might be very Tyler Perry.
We should ask Don about that, because Don seems to make expert
on
Tyler Perry.
I don't think he knows anything about Tyler Perry. I'm going to call his bluff. Although they are making Nebraska, too. So, that's what he tells me. So.
The mushrooms were placed into evidence at the sheriff's office, and the alligator was released back into the wild. So all is well that ends well, right?
I guess. What a waste of perfectly good, wild, trippy balls mushrooms. The Florida cops just ate them later anyways. They didn't put shit away.
You know, it makes you wonder, honestly, what do cops do with the drugs they find?
Well, they put it, they have like holding rooms where they put drugs, and it's all inventory. So if it goes missing, they know about it.
Or do they all do them when they just have turned on for what parties?
I mean, that would be way more fun. That's what I hope to find out in Super Troopers 2, which is the thing that's going to be happening.
Yes, it is. Unfortunately, I don't think it will, because it's a prequel to Super Troopers.
What? Where'd you get
it? Yeah, it's about their dads, I think.
That's nonsense. I don't believe you. You might be right, but I don't believe you.
You don't believe me? Okay, fair enough.
I also didn't believe you about our next story. That wasn't my best work, but it'll do.
It wasn't.
Ben, you should introduce this one. I think we should do it next so that I can get it out of the way, because this story makes me uncomfortable. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Oh, yes.
All right, go.
Story number four. If it's not England, if it's not Florida, if it's not Iowa, I think Iowa got on here one time with something weird they did, it's going to be Japan. So, as the headline reads, say cheese, Japan's most famous schoolgirl is a man. From the neck up, Hideaki Kobayashi is a middle-aged bald man with a bushy mustache. From the neck down, this Japanese man could pass for a Japanese schoolgirl as he parades all over Tokyo dressed in seifuku, the name for the sailor outfits worn by teenage girls. The 50-something Kobayashi started up dressing as a teenage girl about 3 years ago. Before that, he was a computer engineer and an accomplished photographer, careers he's kept alive. When asked about it, he goes, it's a difficult question. It's not really something I thought too deeply about. I guess it's because sailor suits look good on me? Question mark? That's literally... he basically had that last line into a question. I guess I can say, do what makes you happy, but not hurting anybody. But
you could say
if that. This didn't happen in Japan, I swear to God this would happen in Florida, though.
No, not something like this. This is a very Japanese thing to happen, I feel like. First of all, the person who wrote in their article, from the neck down, he looks like a Japanese schoolgirl. That's ridiculous. His clothes are that of a Japanese schoolgirl. He still has the body of a withering old man. So let's not give too much credit. He does look like an old Japanese man dressed like a little Japanese schoolgirl. And that is why it makes me uncomfortable, and that is why I don't like it.
It's different. It's very different.
You're so politically correct, then.
He does get rude comments from people, which, I mean, that's bound to happen. But he's really become an internet celebrity. He's proud that he's sought out the young girls who want to take pictures with them and post them online. So I guess he's become somewhat of a celebrity in Japan, which I guess is good for him. He says, if there's something you want to do, do it. That's my message, be yourself. Which, I mean, that's true. Like I said, he's not harming anybody. He's not going out and stealing alligators. He's not pushing people out of back of vans or whatnot, but or other nonsense that goes on in Florida. So, I mean, is it creepy? Absolutely. It's fucking weird. But, hey, I mean, to each their own, and I guess if it makes him happy and if it's something he likes to do, then go for it.
I'm all for being yourself and being happy, but I'm also, I just think that at a certain point, you have to draw some sort of line. Like, how many of these outfits does he have? Does he dress like this every day?
Well, according to this article, so far from the pictures, he just has the two. But there is a video in it at the top of it for those of you who are interested in wanting to see this man talk to a reporter about it. Yeah, that's all I really have to say about that.
The only person I want to talk to about this video is a therapist. That's the only person who needs to hear about the horrors that I have seen with my own eyes.
This is something you want to unsee?
I wish that I could unsee this. It's too bad that it makes for such good news chewing, because I hate it. Much like you hate the thought of 237,622 teeth.
Despite the dressing as a schoolgirl, though, he still is attracted to women and identifies as a man even when he's challenging gender norms, according to this article.
I think that is actually worse, somehow. I think that that just makes him a creepy, creepy old fuck. Because now you're just admitting that you feel most comfortable in your own clothing when you're dressed like a small girl. You see what I'm getting at here, Ben? I'm all for people living their life, but now you're a creepy old man.
Yeah, I'm not going to defend it, but at the same time, I mean, he's happy, he's free to live life the way he wants to, but at the same time, it's fucking weird.
It's weird.
Should we move on from this story?
Awesome. Yes, please. Save me, Ben.
Alright, so, next story. Story number...
Five?
I think? Sure. Yes. I don't know. How many stories have we done? Sure, let's go with five.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. No one cares.
You know what? There's one I definitely want to save for last. So, I'm going to go with one of yours that you sent. So, Lou...
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
I've seen One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
That's basically what I meant.
Did you say One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
Cuckoo, same thing.
Benjamin.
I have a terrible time pronouncing things. You should know this.
I do know this. How could I forget the RZA epidemic of 2 weeks ago?
The RZA, the GZA. Which I don't know, it was the RZA, the GZA, the Ghostface Killer.
Yeah, now you got it. Alright.
straight up thugging now.
No, okay. Now you've ruined our street credit again.
We never had to begin
with. We might have had a little bit. Like a very small, small amount. I know what story you're doing. It's about poop.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shitty one.
See, but that one I liked, Ben. That was...
Yeah.
That one was... that one was solid.
So do you want to take the lead on this, Ben?
Sure, I'll take this one. Arizona wife put feces in husband's IV. I mean, that's about as straightforward as it gets. She is accused of injecting feces-laced fluid into her 66-year-old husband's IV. The couple were alone in his recovery room following a surgery. I mean, we've had some pretty bizarre shit on here, Ben. Pun absolutely intended. But death by feces is... I think death by feces is new.
Look at her face. Look at that stone-cold reaction she gives.
She looks like the type of person who would kill you with feces. She really does. Like, I look at her and I'm like, that woman would absolutely try to murder you with your own dong.
With your own dong?
Yeah. It's a combination of don and dung. Dung? Oh, wait. It also
that means something completely different.
Yeah, same difference.
Anyway... What's hilarious about this, really, is that she's a registered nurse in all this, so obviously she knew how to get that stuff in there, but she didn't understand how or why electronically monitored IV drip units work. So that kind of is the whole irony of that. A registered nurse doesn't know that. Or former registered nurse. I don't know if she is, so she might still be. So.
I like the sentence, the hospital found a brown substance in the IV line. That's the same problem I occasionally have with the plumbing in my home. Come on, man. If you can't find the humor in a lady trying to kill her husband with some poo in a syringe, what can you find the humor in?
And here's the thing. The police still, as according to the article, don't have a motive about it.
Yeah.
She just wanted to kill him with feces.
She just thought, if I can kill this rotten son of a bitch with some poo, that would just be the ultimate feather in my cap. She probably just needed to outdo one of her friends at the bridge club. Like, she probably, like, one of her friends probably killed her husband in the bathtub by soaking him in, I don't know. Laudanum. I just made up an old-timey sounding thing. I don't think that's how laudanum works at all.
Chicken broth, maybe? Let's go chicken broth.
So, yeah, she turned him into stew. She cooked him in chicken broth in their tub. I don't know. She was trying to one-up somebody. She was like, oh, yeah, I'll kill my husband with poo-poo.
And what's kind of funny is that the police sergeant said that this is the first time I've heard where fecal matter has been injected into an IV system. I kind of don't doubt that.
Yeah.
That sounds like something you hear about every day.
I imagine that was the first time you'd ever heard that.
So...
It was...
There are ways to kill people in this world. Not that I condone any single one of them. This is, yet again, creative.
Ben, don't kid yourself. You're one of the most creative killers known to man.
Oh, yeah. I'm basically the Dexter of this show.
I don't get that reference.
Dexter the Serial Killer?
Oh, yeah. I do get that reference now. I've just never seen the show.
Like Captain America, you understood that reference.
There you go. Wait, what does Captain America have to do with any of this? I don't get that reference. Ah!
Okay.
Now I just imploded on myself.
You're just imploding yourself all over. Kind of like this IV.
No.
It's from the Avengers when Captain America goes, I understood that reference.
Oh, yeah. See, yeah. I don't like that movie, so that's why that reference was wasted. Ben, no, I told you that I don't like the Avengers. no, I have a new sort of frustration lately, but we don't have to get into it right now. Maybe if there's time later. But it involves a particular director.
Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, that's the one. Oh, you know already.
I saw your Facebook post a while back.
Yeah. Because I like Guillermo del Toro movies up until Pacific Rim for whatever reason. And even that, I was just like, well, it just didn't do it for me. And that happens. But I wanted Pacific Rim to be really good. So I tried to watch The Strain. the third episode of that show is on tonight, and he's the, like, executive producer, and it's based on his stories and blah, blah, blah. I just do not give a fuck about any of those people, Ben, on the show. It's impossible for me to get into it because I just don't care if those people live or die at all. Couldn't care less.
Huh.
So it's hard for me to, like, to get excited about it. And then the part of the story that I want to share is past and future guests. Oh, well, he's also a past and former. Past and future guest Nathan Reed was like, because I watched the first episode of The Strain, the pilot episode, and I was like, I just don't, this is not doing it for me. And he was like, you can't give up after just one episode. He was like, you got to at least give it 4. And so he swayed me, and I was like, all right, I'll give it 4. Well, then within like a week of us having that conversation, I listened to a podcast that Guillermo del Toro was on, and he said that he has seen almost, he's probably seen every pilot for every TV show that's been put out in the last 15 years. But he said, if they don't capture me in the first episode, I don't watch anymore. And so I texted Nate and I was like, Guillermo del Toro just said that after one episode, if it doesn't grab you, that you should stop listening or you should stop watching. And I found that amusing because I wanted to stop after one episode of The Strain. But I only have to watch 2 more before I can officially just go, this is dumb.
Maybe it'll change your mind. I don't know.
Nah, not likely. Again, I don't really care about any of the people. They've done nothing to make me give a shit about any of these people. So I doubt that they'll sway me. Because I don't know if you know this, Ben, but I didn't really think The Walking Dead was all that great at first. I remember watching the very first episode when the night that it aired, because I was even then a big zombie person, and I was like, this will be cool, and I was just okay with the first episode, and then I watched the second one, and I was like, meh, and then as the first season kept going, I liked it a little more, and a little more, and a little more, and now I adore it, and hinge on its every beck and call. Sometimes it calls to me at night. No, that's not true.
That's not true at all.
No, I made that part up. You know what isn't made up?
What's not?
Atheism.
What's not made up? Atheism? Yeah.
Atheism isn't made up. Is this the one you wanted to say for last?
No.
Good, I didn't think so. This, since we don't know what the number is, our second to last story this week is goes as follows. Pastor tries atheism, loses job, but gains $19,000. So, basically what happened, this pastor decided that for 12 months, he's going to live his life like there is no God. He's calling it an intellectual experiment, and unfortunately, what he didn't think about was that in less than a week, he lost 2 jobs teaching at Christian schools. which I guess is going to happen. And so now he's taking odd jobs and is living in poverty because he has a 10 and 13-year-old daughter. So, Ben, atheism, putting the hurt on people.
Yeah, and that's what people are going to spin this into. But what he doesn't realize, or apparently like you brought up, what he didn't realize was, gee, I worked at a Christian school, and I'm going to full-on say that I'm going to try atheism. That's not going to go very well, as indicated to him losing both of his jobs. So, I mean, I get it. I get that he wants to try something else. He wants to experiment, maybe see why people that oppose his religious beliefs, why they do, why they think this way, why they believe this stuff. Sure, that's great and all. But is now the best time in your life to do that when you're trying to raise 2 daughters? I mean, sources say no, but yet again, like the Japanese man, I guess do what makes you happy, do what, you know, you want to do. You're free to do what you want to do, as long as it's not harming people, harming animals, harming really anything. If it's a free intellectual experiment, like he calls it, go for it, I guess. But you have to realize the consequences of what you're doing, good or bad.
And it does have a nice, you know, ending to it because there was a gentleman who admired this guy and he set up an online fundraiser and so far it's earned $19,000. so that he can try atheism and start a blog about his year of living without God. I think that's awesome. If he has a book, I will definitely read his book. I've already read the inverse of that, which was The Year of Living Biblically, which is a really fun book. That was written by a New York Times writer. You know, I love atheism. So maybe he will too. You never know. Maybe he'll miss Jeebus and, you know, go back and be happy. Or maybe he'll find a happy medium. I'm finding more and more that people can find a balance between the two. I'm hoping that becomes a more common trend as time goes by.
Or maybe he'll become a Rastafarian and convert to the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster.
Maybe he'll convert to Islam. I don't know. You never know.
I'm telling you, Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster.
Yeah, you keep preaching to me about that. I'm starting to wonder if you don't work for them.
I'm not a Jehovah's Witness.
Yet. You're a spaghetti witness.
There is nothing wrong with his noodly appendage.
Whoa.
That's literally what it says.
Yeah, that came out differently than you may have meant for it to.
No, that's what it literally says on the site. Like, you know that picture of, like, the two dudes that are, like, trying to point their fingers at each other? like, the dude in the cloud, and he's, like, trying to point his finger,
yes.
And the other dude's like... There was one with the one guy, and the one had this flying spaghetti monster. And it's like, you have been touched by his noodly appendage. But, I digress. But, I mean, good for this guy to try and see outside of the box, because there are so many closed-minded people, Christians, atheists, either way, but both can be bad in extremes. But I guess good on him for trying something new. I don't know that he needs to go out and make it public. He could very well do this in private, very well do this in secrecy. But this leads me to one of two things, and I'm not sure which one is right. A, he's doing it because he actually is wavering in his faith in Christianity. Or B, he's just doing it to get a perspective from both sides. Which I would be more inclined to believe it's B, because if he wants to be a well-rounded person, he needs to see everything from every side, which is great. But like I said, he needs to realize the consequences to those actions, especially if he wants to go out and tell everybody, hey, I'm doing this. That's like going to, oh, I don't know, you know, going to a St. Louis Cardinals game and saying, hey, I'm a Cubs fan. Like, that's not going to end well. And I can't believe that this man would think that was going to end well, saying, hey, I'm going to try atheism, even though I work at a Christian school, and I've been a pastor for most of my adult life. I think I'm going to try this now. Like, you just can't jump onto one extreme from something and expect everything to be A-okay.
Why not? It happens sometimes. A man can dream. Yes. So, good for this guy, you know, trying to learn how the other side lives. Maybe he'll learn something. But you know what? This guy was a good pastor to begin with, though. He was, you know, for gay rights, and he wanted them to be able to get married in the church and all that stuff. So, I mean, he's already kind of a good guy. I imagine this is sort of like him saying, I'm leaving the church because, you know, I'm smart. I got stuff going on. Also, Ben, that painting that you were looking for before, I don't want to lecture you. I'm not your father. But it's important to me that you know that the name of that painting and the person who painted it. The reason that I didn't answer you earlier was because I was in disbelief that you didn't know the name of that painting. Because it is arguably the most famous painting on Earth. That is The Creation of Adam, and it is painted by the orange Ninja Turtle.
Oh.
Michelangelo is what you're looking for.
Yeah, I feel like I should have known that.
You absolutely should, and that's why we took this time. That has been Art History with Lou.
Is that a new segment that we're not going to come back to?
We better fucking not come back to it.
Art History 101.
Yeah, we better not ever come back to it. I just couldn't believe that you didn't know that one, because I know that one. And so if I know that one, it's shocking to me that other people don't. So that's the only reason.
Plus, now, I mean, isn't it great for this guy now, though? He can sleep in on Sundays like the rest of us.
Yeah. He can.
It's so nice.
He can do what the rest of atheists do, which is we worship football on Sundays during the fall and winter. And that's your religion.
Like today, I didn't wake up till 2.
There you go. I've been busy. I wish that I could have slept till 2.
But I also didn't go to bed till 6.
You gotta cut that crap out. That's preposterous.
I know.
Your life is full of preposterity.
Well, I'm a night person. What can I say?
Lunacy.
Anyway.
Speaking of lunacy, why don't you bring it home, Ben?
Alright, so story number seven.
No, let's just say
eight,
story number
nine.
Last.
I don't
story
know.
Number last.
Story number last. our last story of the day happened not in Florida, surprisingly. No, wait, no, it did. I think.
What?
No, yeah, it did happen in Florida.
It definitely happened in Florida. I was very confused.
I read Tallahassee is Tennessee.
Yeah.
And okay, so yeah, it happened in Tallahassee, Florida, not Tennessee, Tallahassee, Florida, because that's not a place that exists yet. Headline reads: EMT overdoses on heroin after delivering pregnant woman. An on-duty Leon County emergency medical technician overdosed on heroin just moments after transporting a pregnant woman to the labor and delivery wing of Tallahassee Memorial Healthcare, according to a Tallahassee Police Department incident report. On July 13th, Justin Beecraft, and another medic were called out to pick up the pregnant woman on some road. After they dropped the woman off, the man said he needed to use the bathroom. After 15 to 20 minutes, his fellow medics began to worry. And basically, yeah, he was shooting up in there. So
the reason that I think we're doing this one last is because it's a reminder of our own mortality. I'm just kidding. It's to remind you that any time you have to spend an extended amount of time with a pregnant woman in a car, just you and her, you're going to want to do heroin.
Is it that bad?
I don't know. I've never actually really done it. My sister a little bit, and she's all right.
I mean, at least he did his job.
Yeah, he got her there. So what's everybody so upset about? Oh, the dead thing. Yeah. Sorry.
The illegal drugs.
Right. That's right. That man's a hero. Oh, wait. Yeah. Okay.
He's a hero, except for, you know, all the heroin and whatnot.
Yeah, but, you know, heroin does not a hero not make. Right? Where's the science that says you definitely can't be a hero on heroin?
You know, and I'm kind of honestly surprised he's able to keep doing this type of job, being a heroin addict. Because, let's face it, heroin is not a one-time thing.
We have to be careful. We're teetering on being very pro-heroin right now. That's mostly my fault. I walked us into it, and you're keeping us afloat. We're like...
Heroin's bad, kids.
Yeah,
don't do
we're
it.
Like, well, it's pretty impressive.
We should be praising this man.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. It's my fault. I started it. You know, I feel bad for the guy to a certain extent, but at the same time, apparently they said that the amount that he did was not, like, a ridiculous amount, so it's not like he went in there and loaded up a, I don't know, what's a lot, 6,000 milliliters? Seems like that's a lot. But, I mean, it just says that he did, like, a regular amount, so maybe it was the same heroin they sold to John Belushi and Chris Farley.
And the guy who just died.
Good work.
You know, Glasses.
A lot of guys just died. Glasses.
Bigger guy.
It's going very poorly. I had dude.
Blonde hair, beardish.
Oh, Philip Seymour Hoffman?
Yes.
Jesus Christ, Benjamin.
I wanted to say Huffman, but I knew that wasn't right. He died of heroin, I think.
That's correct. But you also had to describe him to me as the fat guy with blonde hair and glasses. That was how you described him to me. You could have named a movie that he was in, but you chose to go...
I've only seen him in, like, one movie.
You could have said that movie, and I might have got it.
Big Lebowski.
Yeah, well, maybe not. I would have named... But I would have named you people from Big Lebowski.
But, I mean, the fact that he's doing heroin at all is stupid. But let's just get that, you know, out of the air. It doesn't matter if it's 6,000 milliliters or 30. I don't know which
is... But, I mean, in Florida, we just shouldn't be surprised by this sort of behavior. That the people who are supposed to rescue you and save you when you are at your most vulnerable are ripping H in the bathroom. Like, that's fucking Florida. I mean, in a nutshell. And then the EMT who doesn't do heroin because it's too hard is the guy buying magical mushrooms from fucking alligator thieves in the woods.
And then when he goes on his, you know, magical trip, he's now a schoolgirl from Japan.
And he gnaws on all of the mushrooms with his 235 teeth. Yeah, there you go.
So... Maybe this man has had a really rough day. I don't know. But regardless, I think he might be up for Dumbass of the Year.
Very possible.
Because, I mean, not only is he doing heroin, he's doing heroin on the job. As an EMT. So...
Yeah, he might be a star candidate for Dumbass of the Year. Although, with so many Floridians to choose from...
I feel like Florida should just win Dumbass of the Year.
No, we'll have to find a specific dumbass, because that's a crown and a title that they should wear. We should try to get them plaques that we can send to them.
Put them in the Hall of Fame of Dumbass?
Mm-hmm.
The Hall of Dumb?
The Hall of...
I guess it could work.
The Hall of Stupid Asses. But anyway, so that happened.
Yeah, and... I am not surprised in any sense of the word, because Florida doesn't surprise me anymore. I read something and I'm like, yeah, that's Florida, all right.
We even had some Florida stories that didn't make the cut this week, and they were not bad either. They were Florida-rific, as the kids say.
It's a very long and arduous process we go through to pick stories. It really is. It's just...
That's why when Kimberly was on, we had to do so many, because she was overwhelmed with the options that we sift through every week. There's some gold out there, people.
Them.
I mean... the world does not disappoint when it comes to stupidity. Of this, we can be sure.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not an easy process that we go through picking these stories, because there's so much to choose from.
And thank you to everyone who sends us stories, because it hasn't just, you know, Don did this week, but it hasn't just been Don. We've had other people send us stories, and we don't always, you know, shout out to you, but we appreciate you sending stories, and we appreciate everybody listening. We grow a little bit all the time. And so thanks, everybody. Ben, why don't you tell everybody where they can find us?
Well, before I do that, Lou, we have 4 new countries this week.
Oh, that's right. Give it to me.
So this week we had a grand total of, I think, 30-some views. I can't do math right now, so I'm just going to say 30-some views. 23 from the United States, 4 from France, 2 from the United Kingdom, and then here are 4 new countries: Indonesia, Turkey, Georgia, and Thailand.
Ooh, we are going global in a big way now.
Yes, we are. It's quite amazing how far across the world we're going. We're still missing some countries though, and that's fine. Greenland,
Canada.
Canada? No, Canada. We have 1 view from Canada.
We have 1 view from Canada. 1 view from Canada. Fuck Canada.
China, you're not on here either, so.
Fuck China.
And I think Norway. We're missing Norway as well.
Oh, and those are my people. That ain't right.
Yeah, you know, Norway, India, Japan, your big ones we're missing, so.
Unbelievable.
But yes, you can find us on Twitter at The News Chew. You can follow Lou at, how is your title?
Oh, really? You don't know? Jesus. It's at Lucifer Olsen with my name, L-O-U-C-I-F-E-R, Olsen, O-L-S-E-N.
Yes, that. You can follow me at BJOR92. You can like us on Facebook at The News Chew with Ben and Lou. Email us with your story ideas and whatnot, newschewwithbenandlou@gmail.com. That's newschewwithbenandlou@gmail. And so that's basically all I have to say for this week. So, Lou, any closing words?
Don't forget to floss.